So now that the 2024 presidential primary season has started, many people are turning their attention to what the outcome of this November's election may mean for their finances. In fact, an Investopedia article titled "Investors' Election Year Worries Could Be Overblown," experts say, notes that its own survey determined that 61% of investors who responded said they're concerned the election outcome will have a negative ramification on their portfolios. This article has much more information I'm really eager to share as we discuss some of the myths and the realities about what election outcome means for your money. But before we get into that timely topic, let me introduce my co-host, Mr. Tony Shore, who long ago secured my vote for best co-host in the business.
I don't know about that. Wow, what an introduction. I secured your vote without even having to spend a penny on advertising, Eric.
What a bargain.
That's a good deal for me. But hey, great topic. And I think you might have even been understated when you called it timely. I mean, we're well into the election year, and it's going to be the dominant news story between now and November. That's for sure. So for the next few months, it's going to be kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So let's just dive a little bit deeper into the article I referenced a moment ago. So Apparently, election anxiety significantly outpaced concerns about both the continued conflict in the Middle East and even the possible recession that we've heard so much about over the past several years. Yet, while it's perfectly understandable that investors and savers will always feel anxious during election season, historical trends suggest that there may be very little reason to be concerned. Maybe "don't worry, be happy" is a wiser choice over anxiety. Tony, wasn't that a song title?
Yeah, it was.
Back in the day.
Don't worry, be happy. Way back in the day. I don't know. Late 80s, early 90s, maybe. Yeah. Robin Williams was in the music video with it was Bobby McFerrin.
There you go. Yep.
Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy.
That is a good philosophy to live by. Okay.
It is.
Now, pressing on. So now, while the past isn't always a good predictor of the future, the data suggests that investors should feel optimistic about what our upcoming election may mean for their bottom line.
Well, and so not only should investors probably not be worried about the election affecting their finances, at least that the markets, they should also be maybe excited by it, right?
Well,
so maybe because of the history.
Yeah. So, well, maybe from my standpoint, more optimistic than pessimistic is how I might put it.
Yeah.
But election years on average tend to be market positive, especially if we get the Fed cutting rates in the second half of the year, as many out there are actually forecasting.
Yeah.
So how about we share a little more financial history 101 and just kind of see what it says. So when we look at the data tells us that markets generally have risen during presidential election years. In fact, the S&P 500 has shown positive returns in 20 of the past 24 election years, going all the way back to 1928. So that's growth in just over 83% of the presidential election years during a 96-year stretch.
Wow.
Now,
I mean, 20 of the last 24 presidential election years have shown positive growth, the S&P 500. That's really good.
Absolutely. I would say that is very encouraging, especially in the light that the average return for those election years has been 11.58% compared to an average of only 9.28% for every year since 1928. So what this suggests is that while election years will always be a big news story, after all, we're choosing the leader of the free world here, elections have historically had modest bearing on the economy and the markets. Also, the article also quotes financial services professionals who shares an opinion that investors really shouldn't be making big portfolio decisions because of all the noise that's out there of an election season. Instead, just be mindful and prudent. And perhaps most importantly of all, just stick to your financial strategy, assuming that you have a solid plan in place.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and financial services professionals, if any of our listeners out there, Eric, aren't already working with somebody, election year economic anxiety is a good reason to reach out. And like you said, if you don't have a plan in place, you need one. You need a financial plan, a strategy. They can just simply reach out and give you a call.
So, Tony, definitely. And we'll share our number with you here in a few moments again, how listeners can reach out to us and see about moving forward and maybe review an existing plan that they have, or actually get a plan going if they don't have one already. So let's also go back to the article, because there's some other interesting things that are cited here. So one of the other interesting things is this article shares with us is it quotes strategists from New York Life Investments who really urge investors to expect our upcoming election to bring a plethora of sensational headlines, but just simply to ignore them, because all that breathless hyperbole rarely translates into economic impacts or shifting the market outcomes. Instead, you really want to maintain focus on things like the fundamentals of, say, elevated interest rates, moderating inflation, recovering corporate profits, which really should empower long-term diversified portfolios to continue moving the investors' long-term goals with confidence.
Yeah, don't let your emotions become part of it. Use those solid strategies. And it reminds me of that common British expression, steady on, right? When it comes to our finances, we need to stay steady on and not get distracted by what history indicates probably won't matter much.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, stay steady on or hold the course, right?
Yeah,
is a good philosophy when it comes to your investment strategy, assuming you have that strategy in place and you're confident that it's moving you towards your objectives. So, Tony, I want to add a critical note here. So these articles that I've been reading about the economic impact of the 2024 election mention markets and investing throughout, and therefore, you're going to hear those words often during our show today, but we don't have adequate time in a 30-minute show to fully address all the rules, regulations, pluses, minuses, and nuances that come with investing. And let me tell you, there are a lot of them. So if investing is a part of your financial strategy, as it should be, both today and in your retirement and throughout your retirement, it's, in my opinion, absolutely essential to work closely with a fiduciary financial services professional and firm. You know, investing can be rewarding, but it can also be risky. So make sure you have someone in your corner who can offer experience, guidance, and perhaps most importantly, cool-headedness, right? To keep you focused on the long-term objectives.
Yeah. Well, and maybe you could give us a quick rundown, Eric, of some of the things that have really jumped out at you while you've been researching this economic impact of presidential elections.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. So first, there really is no evidence-based correlation between the political party holding presidency and stock market returns. No matter how much you may support one party and fear the other, the data suggests many companies, and again, that's what drives ultimately stock prices. Many companies can still find ways to make money and produce positive returns. Secondly, the stock market has been consistently and predictively positive since 1926, with the only blips being, say, the Great Depression of the 30s, the tech bubble burst of the early 2000s, and of course, the great financial crisis that we all remember, 2007 to 2009, where the markets actually went peak to trough, dropped over 53%. And third, it's your behavior, how you respond, not the election results. That's far more likely to determine your portfolio's performance over time.
See, that there you go. That's the point. I'm glad you made that point, Eric. That's huge. It's people's own personal behavior and emotions, not election results, that are more likely to determine your portfolio's performance. You know, if something starts crashing, they pull the money out, then it gains again, then they go back in and they missed most of the gains. You've seen that happen, right?
Yes, absolutely. You're spot on, 100%.
Yeah. So we should probably take a moment. Let's take a quick break here, Eric, to let our listeners out there know how they can get a hold of you to set up that. I know you're offering a no charge consultation. Sure. And you're more than happy to talk. You've got a great staff there, and you're more than happy to meet and talk with our listeners to make sure either get a second opinion on where they're at or get a financial plan in place.
Absolutely. So we have three fiduciary lead advisors in our firm. So simply just reach out. Our office number is 770-904-1978. Of course, you can visit us on our website, which is etsfinancial.com, simply to discuss how we might be able to answer some of your questions that you may have, address your concerns about maybe your existing financial strategy, and of course, retirement. I would like to mention, you know, that although we don't have really a hard and fast, what we would call investment minimum at our firm, our strategies and our holistic approach typically to retirement income planning typically work best for those where they say a minimum of $350,000 of investable assets, excluding real estate. But I would simply just say, call the office, have an open, honest conversation with our staff as to what your biggest concerns are and your planning objectives are, as well as the level of investable assets that you have. And then at that point, we can really determine if a complimentary consultation would be the best next step for you.
Yeah. And hopefully you do have those assets, either, you know, your 401k, your IRA, your portfolio investments, things that you're saving for retirement. That's what you need to have. And I think that's important. And to get a plan in place to make sure that is properly allocated is huge. And you want to work with a fiduciary. That means that you and your advisors there, Eric, are going to do what's in the client's best interests, that you're held to that. And that's what you always do, is help them make the decisions that are in their best interest for their long-term financial picture and retirement picture. So this has been a great show. We're going to keep rolling. We're jumping into our next segment here. And during the show today, you've been talking about the upcoming presidential election and how fears that the results of the election are going to bring economic turmoil. Often that's overblown and overhyped by the media. Of course, this year we've got a crazy election, and not that it's not important. It is. Who gets in is important, but according to historical data, the markets and your finances are going to chug along no matter who's in office. And I think it's been a timely and interesting show today. So what's next on the agenda?
So let's just dive a little bit deeper into how these presidential elections historically affect the economy. So sure. I came across another article from Nationwide. It was titled, "Nearly Half of Investors Believe the 2024 Election Will Have a Bigger Impact on Portfolios Than Market Performance." So despite the lengthy headline here, it offers some fascinating insights and data. So let's dive into it. So this was a joint study by Nationwide Retirement Institute and Advisor Authority. What it revealed was 45% of investors believe that this year's election outcome will have a greater impact on their retirement goals and portfolio than market performance. Moreover, the study reveals widespread concerns about the implication of election results on retirement planning. So respondents express anxiety about potential new policies and the impact of opposing party rule over the overall U.S. economy. Interestingly, 32% of investors anticipate an economic downturn within a year if their preferred candidate loses the election. Similarly, 31% believe that if an opposing party wins, it will negatively impact their future financial performance. Additionally, 31% of respondents expect taxes to increase within a year if their party does not win the presidency.
Yeah. Well, I think taxes are going to go up eventually, regardless myself, but they're at an all-time low, and that expires, what, in 2026? So
right.
I think you make a great point there, Eric. And it is always, if my guy doesn't get in, the world's going to end. And that's, you know, that's what the media, you know, one news channel says it's the other guy, and the other news channel says it's the other guy. But the bottom line is, sure, it can make a difference. You know, the party that's in power can make changes that do affect you and your finances. That's the reality. However, the big picture, as far as the markets are concerned, you've pointed out, you know, history has shown that it doesn't really affect the markets, especially in the long run. And right. Even in the short term, it's been positive. So it's interesting that the article you talked about in the first segment has the data that makes it clear the fears are somewhat, if not entirely, overblown. But I guess it's just human nature for us to worry about our finances, regardless of what the data tells us, right?
Absolutely. You know, and the findings in that Nationwide article, they also show that, you know, older investors, you know, are particularly anxious, fearing that, you know, a wrong decision, you know, or an unforeseen event nearing retirement could impact the quality of their life. And it's so true. It really can. Among those nearing retirement, the numbers told us, say, age 55 to 65, 50% worry about a recession, compared to 41% of all investors. Similarly, 66% of retirees and those nearing retirement, they express concerns about inflation, compared to 61% of all investors.
Interesting.
Different concerns, right? For different
parts. Right. Different concerns. As we get older, I think our concerns are more cost-based. Inflation's a biggie, things like that. That's a good point. So how do near retirees, people who are getting closer to retirement, plan to address their concerns?
Well, the survey makes it clear, you know, that those are that are within, say, a decade of retirement, they intend to be more conservative, right? Specifically, 33% of near retirees reported they'll manage their portfolios more conservatively because of what they expect to happen this coming November. That's compared to just 31% of all non-retired investors. Furthermore, only 12% of near retirees and 4% of overall investors responded that they intend to become more aggressive leading up to the election day.
Sure. People tend to get really conservative during an election year, and especially as they near retirement. Then that's good to understand that. And that's, I see that happening. I'm sure you see that with people you meet with and your clients as they get older.
Sure.
And closer to retirement, they tend to become more conservative. That's huge. And I'm not there yet, but I can certainly empathize with people who are close to retirement and feel anxiety about these economic factors that are out of their control, right?
Absolutely. You know, obviously the when you're investing and trying to grow the money, the longer the wait, the steeper the climb. But when you're getting either in retirement or close to retirement, you just simply don't have time, you know, to make up for large losses in the market. So that's one of the reasons why folks tend to go more conservative as they get closer and closer to retirement. So when we talk about, you know, those individuals, you know, that, you know, are having anxiety, you know, especially those individuals who have not created a comprehensive, holistic retirement income plan. So here at our firm, we simply call that the ETS Retire Ready Plan, which is a customized written plan that addresses all five of the key areas for a successful retirement. And we can circle back later and break down what all five of those critically important areas are, but they will completely replace, once you address those and you have a comprehensive plan, this holistic, it'll completely replace that anxiety that so many people are feeling with tremendous peace of mind, bringing the confidence that they're actually set and will be able to, quote, retire ready. But let's go ahead and let's continue with the nationwide survey, Tony. So with that nationwide survey, one of the things that was pointed out and basically talked about, you know, this election-based anxiety is also influencing how investors are approaching spending as well. Okay. So for non-retired investors, they cited the biggest long-term threats to their retirement strategy are inflation, actually 47%. Rising cost of living, right, which is simply a byproduct of inflation, right, 42%, and a potential recession, 31%. Also, they also were planning on to save more money, right? 33% plan to cut down on unnecessary expenses like travel and shopping in the next year. Additionally, 25% are considering maybe even working longer to address those concerns and that anxiety they have. Than they initially planned to boost those retirement savings, save more for that retirement war chest, give them more of that financial security that they want to have in going into retirement. So despite significant economic concerns, the survey found really some hopeful signs as well that we want to point out. While those fears of a recession still remain high, you know, 80% down from 85% last year, 40% of all investors, Tony, and 32% of pre-retirees expressed optimism about the economic outlook for the next 12 months.
Oh, okay. That's good. And my reaction to what we've learned so far here and what you've been saying is there's a lot to suggest investors shouldn't worry and let their emotions dictate their decisions. But even that said, investors are probably still going to worry, right? Yeah. Even if we tell them not to, they will, right?
For the majority of the people, yes. I mean, it unfortunately, it's human nature. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, that is especially true. This worry and anxiety is especially true for those out there who either have no defined and comprehensive holistic retirement income plan, or maybe they're just simply not confident in the plan that they do have, that it actually covers all the bases, right? To alleviate that anxiety that we're discussing about today and not to overreact to these, you know, campaign promises that are out there. Okay. And to this point about campaign promises that are made, there was a Fidelity article I came across entitled Election 2024, Anticipating the Market's Impact. So as I mentioned, it urges people not to overreact to campaign promises from either candidate. And the article also emphasizes that historical data show a significant gap, as you can probably guess and imagine, between campaign promises and actual delivery.
Yeah. No, Eric, you mean they're going to say things that they never do or accomplish?
Well, you know, we're not going to get political here, but sometimes promises made are met and sometimes they are not met, right? So according
to most of the time with politicians, they're not met. I hate to be cynical, but
you got that right. Right. Yeah. So according to the article, you know, it's exceedingly rare for a candidate to fulfill all their pre-election promises or proposals. Right. This is because legislation is not solely crafted by the president, but both the Senate and the House, of course, are involved, and any legislation must pass through both chambers before reaching the president's desk for approval or for veto.
Right. And when the Senate is controlled by one party and the House is controlled by another, which is the case right now and is a lot of times the case, it's actually more so than not these days, the legislative process then becomes even more difficult and you get gridlock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and, you know, talking about our segment today, Tony, you know, it's really been a really data heavy show, you know, so far today. And it is for good reason as well. You know, it's clear that many people assume that election results are going to have a significant effect on the overall broader economy. But the historical data doesn't support that, right? Presidential elections have very little impact historically on the market. But, you know, it's not necessarily wrong to maybe feel anxious about the economy or your financial strategy However, you know, as we've mentioned a couple times already through this segment, working closely with a fiduciary financial services professional or advisory firm is really one way, probably one of the best ways to relieve all or most of that anxiety that may be impacting folks out there.
Sure. And if our listeners have questions or want to get a hold of you or your staff, how can they do that? What's that phone number and web address?
Yep, absolutely. So 770-904-1978. Simply call the office to kind of, you know, share with them how you heard about us and what your concerns and goals are and objectives. And we'll see about bringing you in for a complimentary consultation and to see how we can hopefully add some value to your financial world. Or you can simply visit our website, which is etsfinancial.com.
All right. And during the show today, we've been looking at how investors operate under the assumption that the results of the election will affect their portfolio and savings when historical data since 1928 shows the presidential elections have very little impact on the market and the economy. So what's on tap here for our final segment, Eric?
So let's continue really to look at that thing called emotions, right? And how those emotions can sometimes push people to make economic decisions with that data and why history suggests that they shouldn't. Then we'll bring in Max over here in a moment. We'll get his take on that.
Yeah, you got to introduce your other co-host there.
My other co-host. So,
hey, people might be worried there's a large bear or horse behind you, but that's just your dog, Max, right?
Yeah, so this is the son I never had. So this is Max. Max,
can you say
hey to everybody? What do you think about that? Huh? He agrees wholeheartedly with everything we're saying.
He does. He's like, yeah, take it. You got this. He looked at you like, you got this. Don't involve me. I'm just here to. He's your. It looks like you got security there. That's great.
Yeah, he's my security. He's actually the head of security of ETS Financial. Just so you know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you could find a better head of security. Honestly, Max is great.
So let's continue. And I came across another article, you know, as you may imagine, a CNBC article that was titled, "Here are three tips every young investor should follow to avoid emotion based investing," right? And it's got a lot of useful information here. So let me get through a couple things here. So the word young, I want to mention first, doesn't need to be in the article's headline because this is great information for any investor, regardless of age. So one of the first thing it suggests is preparing yourself for the ups and downs of the market, right? So that's just simply inevitable. In some cases, market fluctuations will be all too real, you know, like those we experienced during the height of COVID-19, that pandemic that we all had to deal with. And in other cases, you know, market volatility will be more imagined than real, as in the case of today's theme that markets have minimal reaction to the outcome of presidential elections.
Well, yeah. And as we've noted throughout the show today, Eric, if the upcoming presidential election is giving you economic anxiety, again, work with a fiduciary, a financial professional, to crunch the data, look at the historical trends, and then review where you're at financially and make sure that you're in a good place going into this.
Absolutely. That's great advice, Tony. Great advice. So let's take a hypothetical look and assume that the results of this coming up November's election, let's just say it bucks historical trends and causes a significant market dip. Again, history suggests this is very unlikely. So this is just kind of an interesting what if, right? So it's important to consider that the market may rise just as fast as it falls. Therefore, as the article explains, keeping your money invested during market volatility may keep your cash growing over the years. You got to be in it to win it, right? So once you've put some of your assets in the market, just keep reminding yourself that market volatility is simply a cost of doing business. It's part of the process. Stick to your long-term game plan. Don't get distracted by the chatter and the noise out there in the media about the presidential elections or the market's, you know, normal ebbs and flows.
Well, yeah, and that's a biggie. And you mentioned myth and reality at the top of the show. I'm going to make a confession here. If you'd asked me, Eric, before the show, if I thought the results of the presidential elections would have a quick and significant economic impact, I would have guessed yes, they do. But to your point about the importance of controlling our economic emotions, it turns out a rundown of that data says my guess would have been wrong. So don't guess, research, I guess, is the point, right?
Exactly. Do the so research and look at the facts. And then, again, it all goes back to, you know, what have you done to create a plan that has you on the path to a successful retirement? You know, maybe you don't have a plan. Maybe you have a plan, but you need maybe a second set of eyes on it to make sure you haven't, you know, missed anything, to give you that confidence if you're feeling that anxiety. But again, having the proper plan to keep you on track. So when we do see market fluctuations, regardless if it's during an election or not, is really going to go a long way to helping you sleep very, very well at night.
Yeah, that's it. And it's the SWAN plan, SWAN, right? Sleep well at night. And that's what we all want to do when it comes to our finances, not have to worry about it. And that's why we work with, you know, you got to work with somebody like yourself, Erica Fiduciary, then you don't have to worry about it. You've got a plan in place. You don't need to worry about those ebbs and flows. And you know, and I think that's huge, obviously. And that's greatly important. I want to encourage our listeners to call you. And that's the main reason I work with you. You know me and my goals. You're not emotionally attached to my finances like I am. And that means I'm getting advice that's driven by data and your experience, not by emotions, right?
100%. Yep. I could not have said it better myself, Tony. Good job. We should switch seats here.
Oh, no. I'm just summarizing what I've learned from you. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. So as we can press forward, let's go ahead and press forward. And let's just talk about another way to potentially avoid or over emotionalizing these decisions when during times of economic uncertainty, which we're always going to have to deal with economic uncertainty. You know, one of the things is to discuss, say, index funds with your financial services professional. You know, movies, TV shows, they often glamorize the idea of getting a red hot stock tip and then turning that tip into a buy low, sell high scenario where you walk away with just a pot of gold at the end. You know, this whole idea of buy low, sell high is common sense, but not common practice. It's rarely the reality. You know, the odds of turning a few thousand bucks into a couple of million are overwhelmingly stacked against you. A strategy that seeks to outsmart the market really is no strategy at all. So just as you shouldn't get caught up in the hype of a presidential election, don't get caught up in the hype of chasing quick riches in the market or that hot stock tip. A better move, in my opinion, is to work with a fiduciary, financial services professional or firm, and build a strategy with a broadly diversified portfolio. Index funds is one way to do it. You know, they've got obviously dividend income portfolios. If you're looking for dividends and need income going into retirement, don't just throw darts at one simple index fund. You know, Tony, you know, last year, a lot of people were really excited about the S&P 500 index, right? But the problem was, you know, the S&P 500 right now, because how it's built, is really a tech portfolio. You know, last year you had 7 stocks that were overweighting the S&P and made up about 80% of the performance. So, you know, it's a little bit misleading. So make sure that you just don't throw darts at index funds. Work with a professional, make sure you're not overexposing yourself to risk, and make sure that you have a portfolio and a game plan that addresses not only your income needs, but also your risk tolerance, and also making sure you have what we call a loss mitigation plan, right? To protect the downside of those investments as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's smart. I think that's really good. And this has been a great show. We're out of time though, Eric. Is there anything else you want to add for our listeners before we go? Maybe let them know one more time how to get a hold of you to get a plan in place.
Absolutely. So again, we'd love to hear from you. Our number here at the office is 770-904-1978. That's the best way to do it. You can, of course, send an email to info@etsfinancial.com. That's another way you can contact us as well. Of course, you can jump on the website and learn more about our firm and how we add value to our community as well. But we're here at the end of the day just to see how can we help folks in our community create a plan, implement a plan, and address any financial worries and concerns they have so they can just sleep well at night. And have confidence that, you know, when they get to retirement, if not already there, they're going to be set and they can retire ready.
All right. Thank you so much, listeners. And thanks, Eric. That does it for today's episode of Retire Strong with our host, Max and Eric Scoggins.
Thanks for being here. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you for listening to Retire Strong Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a solid retirement plan. For more information, please contact Eric Scoggins at ETS Financial Services. Call 770-904-1978 or visit him online at etsfinancial.com. Investment advisory services are offered by First Advisors National LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through ETS Financial Services LLC. First Advisors National LLC and ETS Financial Services LLC are affiliated companies. Eric Scoggins and ETS Financial Services are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.